This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Boltzmann. FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, get from under the desk, you.
Right there, mate. It's Monday. It's 4 p.m. That can mean only one thing. You're wasting your time. Coming up on today's radio show at 4:30 p.m, we have Mina Ryan in the studio to chat about Exchange Theatre's The Flies. Gonna be talking about that. Then at 5 p.m, Imran Yusuf and Ashley Blake will be in the studio surrounding their comedy show, Profit Sharing, is what it says on my screen.
They are around
surrounding
it.
Their comedy show. That's what they're going to be doing. Fanning about under desks, but they can't type something right. Then at 5:30 p.m, Dina Fetcher and Tania Miller are in the studio to talk about the BBC HBO drama Years and Years.
They're surrounding the HBO/BBC show.
Surrounding. They're going to be
all
surrounding
around
that.
It.
I mean, if no one's heard of who's on, what's the point in even saying
well,
it?
Well, they have.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I thought we were going
not
to...
you.
Oh, sorry.
What do you want to talk about, listener? If
get
you don't
in
like
touch,
that.
0330.
What do you want to talk about?
Give
yeah,
out
get
number.
In touch, 0330. Just have a stab at the rest of it.
2 2
Ian Boltzmann.
Welcome to the show.
Yep.
Both myself and Nat are a bit tired.
Yep.
We did a pre-record earlier on. It's wiped us out a little
bit.
It was lively, wasn't it? Was lively, wasn't it?
We had a very bigger than life guest on who was fantastic.
Chico was on. We can spoil it for next week. Yeah, Chico off thingy. What are you doing?
Chico time.
He was on having a chat. No, it didn't go. You'd think it would go, that interview, by the way.
And the only reason it stopped was because he had to go and rescue his car.
Might get banned, that interview.
No, it won't get banned.
I feel like in the future that's the sort of thing that could be banned.
Really?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Through
just who? Incitement to something or other it'll be.
No, he wouldn't incite to anything. He was grooming us, mate. We did feel like we might be in a cult now.
Not in a sex
in
way.
In a good way.
In a sex way. Well, not a sex way that we know of. Maybe
well,
that'll
I don't
be
know.
The, maybe that would be the next part of it.
See who else is in the cult.
Well, I'm not in it, am I? It's about
fitness stuff, I think. But he said, like, mind fitness as well as physical
Whatever.
Fitness.
Whatever.
Yeah,
no,
that's next week. That's
what
next week.
Matt Ebbs, mate. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I've got some notes.
Have you? Really? I've had a horrible day. Getting here today was a nightmare because of all this Trump bollocks.
That's tick-tick for that. So the Trump has arrived.
That's it. I was going to make it sound natural, Nat, but then you say it's something that's written down on a show order.
I've got an order here.
Just go along with it.
I can't even read my own handwriting.
Just go along with it, mate.
So Trump's arrived. He flew into Stansted Airport this morning.
I don't care.
I don't really care about that either, but you
I don't care.
Care because it disrupted your travel here.
No, that's not why I care about it. Oh, no, I don't care about it. It didn't disrupt me. I wasn't late.
Okay.
So it didn't. There's a lot of people. But I just think that's a very misguided way of doing this.
By protesting?
Yes, stupid. Absolutely stupid. You've got a rampant egomaniac who thrives on attention and you're giving him that attention.
Yeah.
If you really want to hurt Trump, don't go and protest on the streets. Do nothing.
Mm.
Do nothing. Make London look like the first 20 minutes of 28 days later. Do that. Make it empty.
That actually would
be. So there's no one here. So no one's interested in any way, shape, or form. The more of you that go and protest it, the more his fucking rampant, fevered ego is stoked.
Right.
That's what happens
there.
He'll be
in a frenzy on Twitter.
Completely that.
Yeah.
Look how many people. And it'll get twisted around to look how many people came out in support and all that sort of thing. Honestly, it's so. I'm sick of people campaigning for stuff and sick of people having causes who don't think just one or two steps ahead.
to what they're going to do is how that will further impact. So I'll tell you what, here's what will happen now, right? However many hundreds of thousands of people turn up tomorrow or whenever they're in the protest, right? They'll turn up, right? Mm-hmm. They'll all buy coffees and stuff. They'll plough an absolute fortune into the economy of London, right? A fortune. Yeah. Now, how's that going to dissuade it from the future? They're going to go, do you know what? Let's have him back again.
Right.
Because all the protests come out, we'll make a fucking mint. Whereas if you didn't go there, if you kept away and made London a ghost town, and it hit the economy that way, they go, we can't do this again. It's going to cripple us.
Yeah, that is true. And as with, not just with Trump, a lot of people who thrive off oxygen, if they don't get it anymore, I don't mean in real life, I mean by, you know, journalists or those sort of, you know exactly the kind of people. If they suddenly, they put out a tweet, which they know is going to cause a reaction, and not one single person replied, not one single person retweeted, then they would think, oh my God, okay, what do I do
all
now?
All them people. Yeah. Because we're living in a world, for better, for worse.
Yeah, for sure.
Where all attention is good attention. Yeah. It's a natural progression of that all publicity is good publicity thing.
Yeah.
Where all attention, it's all about hits, it's all about how many people are following you on Twitter or Instagram or any of them things. It's all about likes, it's all about all this sort of shit. So there's people now who are campaigning who, that's what their agenda actually is. Mm-hmm. Their agenda, how do you protest something that's already happening?
I know, right now.
If you want to do it 3 weeks ago.
But
Go and do it then.
It wouldn't do any difference if you did it 3 weeks. Like, ultimately, protesting is not going to stop him coming over here. That was always going to happen. There wasn't going to be a point where...
Well, that's issue one. So first off, that's true. That's a shame that that's happened. But a protest and a march now will do absolutely nothing. We saw that with the Iraq war, right? Mm. It will do absolutely nothing at all. The decisions are made, the decisions will happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's pointless. But if you want to go make your voice heard, I'm all for that. But to go out to someone who thrives on that, who thrives on attention, good and bad, you're playing right into his hands. That's exactly what he wants you to do. Because he's of the opinion, it seems, that being talked about is better than not being talked about, no matter what they're saying.
Well, we can see in America, of all the right, like the women's marches, the pro-abortion marches, the marches about, you know, Black Lives Matter, the marches about the war and immigration, it hasn't affected anything. It's still
not, but
doing
that's a show of solidarity. That's not about a specific thing. And that's not... you've got to know your... Do you remember the thing I said, and I know you hate me bringing him up, but remember what I said about Gaunt when Gaunt came here?
Yes.
And I said to you, in private, and then said it publicly, the reason he lost that fight is because he didn't know who he was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he came in thinking that his usual armoury of being bolshy and shouting and saying, I'll get you sacked and all that sort of thing, would work. And it didn't work because he was up against cleverer people than him.
Yeah.
And people that were more savvy and were more vicious, actually, when under attack than he could ever be, but a bit more tactical with it and a bit more able to take his abuse and counter with stuff that we knew would get under his skin. Now, the problem is, you've got to know your enemy. So what you know about Trump is, you know that he thrives on that.
On attention.
He loves the attention. So how do you damage someone who's an attention seeker? You don't give them any attention. You don't do that. He'd be wanking over a protest for or against him.
Mm. As long as it's
metaphorically
him,
speaking. Yeah, totally. That's all it's about. It's complete egomania.
Yeah.
So if you go and do a big protest against him, he'll love that. Fucking love it.
Well,
you're ploughing into the economy, so you're making it a successful business day for London.
Okay.
Of course they'll bring him back.
If you were at the Trump protest right now, just listening in, let us know.
Well, they're not, because they're all having picnics and being very proud of themselves, patting them on the back that they're making a difference, and you're not making a difference. How you make a difference is you work out who your enemy is, and you work out how to best affect them. And the best way to affect Donald Trump is to ignore him.
What's the best way to affect you?
I have no idea. I don't know, but I'm sure there's one. I'm sure there's a way of getting under my skin.
What would it be?
Probably that. Probably doing all that stuff.
What, protesting?
Yeah.
You'd be the opposite. You genuinely would hate it. Outside your house, just constant people protesting outside your house.
Completely.
Make it into, like at Westminster, when they made it into like a village, with just people camping out there.
Do that outside my house.
That's good. All right, I'll see you later. I'll put your tent up. I'll be
really
there.
Upset me. No, but I feel really quite strongly about that.
I know.
Because it's not, you're not thinking... You're not thinking it. You're thinking, well, what do? Oh, you have a protest. It's like, no, because this is a person who wants a protest.
Yeah.
He wants that.
Well, he's expecting it, isn't he? After the Trump balloon last time, he can only expect that we would do something similar.
And another thing, by the way, if you're anti-Trump and you follow Trump on Twitter, you are part of the problem.
I see that all the time. With
you
a lot
are
of,
absolutely, and, yeah. and I'm not listening to. Yeah. Oh, I just want to see what he's up to. No, fuck that. Do not follow him
well,
on Twitter.
Look. You don't have to follow.
If you follow him on Twitter, you are part of the problem, and I genuinely mean that because until his Twitter account goes rock bottom, the amount of people that supposedly do dislike him versus the amount of people that actually support him. He thinks that support. He's the sort of person who will see his Twitter following as how many people like him.
Yeah.
Unfollow him, you idiots. Well, but you won't because you're making a career out of it. Because you're using it for your own career to show how right on you are. It, honestly, it makes
my blood
boil.
You don't have to
boil.
Follow somebody. You could just check in every hour with them.
You should
have
be fucking
to
block
them.
Him. Never mind. Block him. And all this stuff about, oh, I want to see what's going on. And it's like, why? What are you going to do about it? There's nothing you can do about it. Most powerful man in the world. There's nothing you can do about it. It's out of your hands. And stop kidding yourself that it isn't.
It's okay to want to be informed, though, to keep up with what he's talking about.
Why?
It's
going to drive
next.
You to suicide. It's ridiculous. All you're doing is you're feeding all that negativity into yourself. That's all you're doing. It's honestly idiotic behaviour.
I'm going to unfollow him now, then.
Well, make sure you do. I'm not going to do anything on this show until you have.
I actually have never followed him, and never. I don't follow any of those sort of people.
It's such a foolish thing. If Hitler was around today, he'd have fucking 20 million Twitter followers. Or people disagreeing with what he says. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You idiots.
Sorry, I don't follow him.
Nobody makes me really cross.
I know. Anyway, should we talk about
Think.
I hear you went with Johnny Vegas to some rugby.
I did, yeah.
I saw that on Twitter, actually.
Saints are through to the semi-final of the Challenge Cup.
You did that photo where you were in the background and said it was your favourite photo ever.
Yeah.
So
okay,
I did see it.
So Tara Jones plays for the Saints women's rugby team.
Yeah.
Okay, by the put Tara's name down because I'd be happy to have her as a guest.
Tara. What's her name? Sorry, Tara?
Tara Jones.
Tara Jones.
She plays for Saints women's team, but she's also a referee as well. She's she's really proper, like, ambitious within the game and that. And she's doing a really good job of self-promotion and promoting the game itself. I didn't go with Johnny to the game, actually.
Okay.
We went separately, but we hooked up when he was there.
Oh, did you? Hooked up, wink, wink?
Oh, he exhausted me.
Oh, I can see, yeah.
Do you know what happened? What was fun about it?
Hanging out with Johnny.
Well, not that.
Right?
Well, what was fun about it was there were two Saints players. One for, Paul Wellens.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. So Paul Wellens shouted over to me, all right, Ian, and all that sort of thing. We had a little chat. Honestly, if I was leaning over when he said it, and I wouldn't have dared stand up straight at that point. It's like Paul Wellington just said my name, remembered my name, and said hello to me. So we are friends now.
I think that's how it works. You are.
Yeah, and then Lou McCarthy Scarsbrook, who also plays for Saints, and both of them, when I was with Johnny, initially said hello to me. Did that, and we had this ongoing sort of competition through the day. Then. About who knew the Saint, and obviously they all in real life they all know him first and foremost,
course,
right?
Yeah. Well, they know you now too.
Yeah, but they know him even if they don't know him,
right?
You know what I mean? Nobody knows me from something else. They know me from if I've met them or whatever, we've chatted or whatever.
Well, yeah, it's Johnny's mate though.
Is what?
They go, "That's Johnny's mate."
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I have no doubt I am that, right?
Not to them now, but to maybe some of the fans.
Maybe, but this went on for the entire day. And there's a player called Johnny Lomax, right? He's an international player. He's exceptional. He's a Saints player. Very good player. He's in the England team and stuff, in the Great Britain team. And Johnny Vegas had gone to the toilet, and I don't know Johnny Lomax at all, but it was quite quiet in there. Everyone had gone then at that point. And I said to Johnny Lomax, when Vegas comes back, just give it a sec and then come over and say hello, Ian. And he went, oh, I'll remember that because it's my dad's name, right? I went, okay, just do that, but and completely blank him.
Yeah.
Right, completely blank Vegas. So I was recording, my phone on the bar, just out of the way, filming it. And he came over and he did it. And Vegas was sort of it wasn't quite there in the conversation, so I actually shooed Johnny Lomax away at one point, and then he came back and did it. And Vegas obviously reacted to it and stuff. And then Johnny Lomax fucking bottled it.
Why?
Just caved in on it and went, I'm sorry, Johnny, I'm sorry.
Ian talked, did you say Ian said to me to do that?
Yeah, totally. I totally bottled it. I was so cross with him.
Yeah.
Then he followed me on Twitter.
Oh, so it's fine. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? He must be a fan of yours.
I screen grabbed it.
Oh, did you?
Genuinely did. Because Johnny Lomax followed me on Twitter.
That's
all right.
Nice. So you're friends now. That's nice.
I don't know if we're friends.
I think that's how it works.
But we had a bit of a laugh.
Oh.
I actually said to him, I hope you don't bottle the semi-final in the same way. We've got a good draw in the semi-final. We've drawn Halifax, who are the only championship team that's the lowest tier remaining. But it's always a bit of banana skin that because they could really raise their game. It's their final, that is. So it's not a done deal at all, but all being well, we should get past Halifax and be at the final at Wembley.
Oh, good.
And if we are, we'll get Weller on again, eh?
Yeah, we'll get
Or Johnny Lomax.
Yeah.
Or John Wilkin. I'll tell you what, yep. John Wilkin.
Okay, write him down.
Used to play for Saints, doesn't anymore. He plays for Toronto now. And John Wilkin's doing a lot of stuff with the BBC for their Five Live podcast for Rugby League is absolutely brilliant. It's not just about Rugby League.
Right.
That's their starting point.
Okay.
But John Wilkin philosophises about life and how your career works and how you adapt within your career and all that. So he's proper coming to his own, John Wilkin. Like, he's a really good talker.
And when would the Wembley match be?
Last weekend of August.
Oh, loads of time to get sorted. Okay, that's good. Well, fingers crossed.
That's presuming we get there as well. Although, to be honest with you, I like promoting the game anyway. I'd have someone on talking about the Challenge Cup final, but I might be in a sulk if we're not there.
Yeah.
And it's best not to do it the week after, because if we go there and lose, I just won't want to talk about it.
Oh, you'd be furious. It'd just be too upsetting.
It would be upsetting.
Sport just makes people just have various emotions, doesn't it?
That's a good thing, though. So does love now.
Oh, yeah.
So does love and relationships.
I was
going
to say something, but that would be a spoiler to next week, so I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
What was you going
to
say?
We brought up the concept of love with Chica, didn't
I did,
you?
Yes. Me and Chica discussed the concept of love on a metaphysical level.
I liked it.
I'm not even joking. It genuinely was not the interview you would expect.
No, including that's what he said. He went, wow, I didn't think I'd be coming there to talk about this.
And how many people leave this studio saying that?
Most of them.
In this show,
9 out of 10, I'd
how
say.
Many people leave this studio going, fuck, that was, I wasn't expecting that. I really enjoyed
Most
that.
Most people.
That's because I'm exceptional.
So still, shh, shh, you're all alone, shh, shh, and so peaceful until. Cry, you crush your heart and hope to die till it's over, and then shh, shh, it's nice and quiet, shh, shh, but soon again, shh, shh, starts another big riot.
This is my favourite thing that I have ever done. I'm having the time of my life.
Thank you.
Bjork and Oh So Quiet.
Sorry, It's Oh So Quiet. Give it its full title.
Oh So Quiet, it's called.
It's.
That's not the version I played.
Oh, okay. The remix you did
I
preferred it.
Right, I tell you what. And I don't do stand-up anymore.
Yeah.
Right. I do still loosely work in comedy, right?
Yes.
I defy anybody to say that I've lost any of my comedic ability, because the fact I can even think of that and then
that
do
was
it
good.
Just shows quite what a great comedy mind I am.
I enjoyed that more than the original version, to be honest.
You tell me you don't like the actual version of
it. I can't stand that song.
Oh, I do quite like it.
It's just the shush bit.
That was better.
But I would listen to that.
Yeah.
Mark has tweeted in.
Oh, God, that's
Mark,
made me laugh.
Not Mark, Mark
Proper
Stevenson.
Made myself laugh.
He's tweeted in, I agree. Loves the remix. He agrees with you.
With the Bjork remix,
He says, ignore the egomaniac. Oh, it's not very nice to say
me.
That about you, is it? Mark?
Can't ignore me, mate. It's my show.
Building his profile only fuels his re-electability.
I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure that's entirely true, but I know what you mean.
What do you... By building his profile
I don't
as
think
in
it's
a
profile
negative
thing.
Way. I don't know if it's building it.
Maybe.
But then he says, Trump is immoral.
Yeah.
He sucks up the views of those around him. He is valueless. His only value is money.
It's pretty concise.
Thank you, Mark.
Overall, Mark, I think I'm not going to carry on with it, but I think my beef is just the idea that people don't, and I feel this across all militant activism, right? Mm-hmm. People don't think of the damage they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They just think that anything is positive, and it's not. It isn't always. Sometimes you are feeding the beast. Sometimes you are making it worse, and I think that that's my take on that anyway.
Very true.
I think it's making it much worse. Please don't take this as me being some sort of Trump sympathiser, because obviously I couldn't be further from that. But I do have a critical thinking head on me.
Yeah.
I will think a few steps ahead and go, well, that will do that. What's up? What happened?
There's something flying in the air.
Oh, okay, that's nice. What do you want to talk about? To be honest with you now, I'm off all that now. I'm now on to being very pleased with myself for my Benny Hill Bjork remix. Which I'm fucking delighted with.
I think that's nice. That will be coming onto some vinyl soon. We'll be pressing those up, ready to play. The hit of the summer,
would,
I think.
What would we have to go through? What rights would we have to go through to get... She probably wouldn't allow
she
it,
wouldn't
would she?
She wouldn't allow it. I don't know who composed...
Even though it's brilliant.
Well, you never know with her. She might listen to it and go, this is actually wonderful. Who did it? Someone
according
Rudolph.
To the Benny Hill show theme, that it's Butch Randolph, but I'm not sure. I have a feeling it might be like Mancini or someone like that. Or one of them, it might have been one of them. Did it pre-exist before Benny Hill? It probably did,
didn't
it?
Yeah, I don't think it was for Benny Hill.
It's probably out of a porn film. A lot of incidental music.
A sexy song.
No, but a lot of music like that originated in porn, like Minar Minar and the Muppets.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, that's where that came from. That came from a blue.
Minar Minar. In a porn film?
It was originally in a porno, yeah.
Okay. I mean, that is too fast. That would be a very quick sex scene. It's 1 minute.
I could do
one
that. I could
one,
keep up with that.
1 minute and one.
Because it is 1 minute one. I could do it for that. If it was like 6 minutes long, I'd be dead. But I could do it. I could reckon you could get a good minute out of me.
A good rampant minute. So a good minute, not just
I could
a minute.
Manage a rampant minute. When I was younger, I was pretty, like, I could proper go for it. My record, I think, was 23 in one night.
Bullshit.
Honestly.
23 what?
23 to completion.
Shut up.
Honestly.
I don't know if that means you're good or bad, because all it means is it's probably over very quickly for you.
I've got no idea. It wasn't quick at all. It was in a caravan. I can remember the night clearly.
23 times over a night means that it couldn't be for that
long
per
time. It
stopped
being fun.
Just a chore. Just like an endurance test.
Fun. I wonder if I've exaggerated it. I wonder if I've just
I don't think it's 23.
I'm feeling it. Do you know what, even as I'm saying it, I think it might have been 16.
2 to 3?
No. It was up in the teens,
16
easy.
16 times.
No. I'm not boasting, by the way. Okay. Please don't take it as laddish boasting. I'm not. It was horrible.
I would be chafing after.
She was insatiable.
Oh, just, yeah, okay. Well, and after that, were
I'm
you
glad
a little
she
bit...
died. Not that night. Unconnected.
After that many times, were you like, I think I'm going to give sex a rest
Red
for a
raw,
minute.
Mate. Red
yeah,
raw,
exactly,
horrible.
Right?
Yeah, not good at all.
Yeah, right.
Not good. Not quite to the stage of, you know, actually breaking the skin, but close.
And that just reminds me of that horrific. Also, if you've had sex 16 times a night, call the show. 0330 if you want to beat in. 223-0200.
We've got loads of guests.
We have, actually. We don't need you to call in. So, like, someone did tweet early. What did they say? Loads and loads of guests, because there's a years and years connection.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember who did that now.
I'm not familiar with any of these things, by the way.
Okay. Well, Years and Years is a big show at the moment on the BBC. It's got Emma Thompson. It's got Russell Tovey in it. It's got Rory Kinnear in it.
Right.
And Russell T. Davis has written it.
Right, okay.
It's good.
You said that Mia Ryan was...
Rayan, I would
Rayan,
say.
Rayan.
She was in some Game of Thrones. The payoff at the end, and I'm not the only one to say, is like, just don't bother. I mean, do bother if you want to, but I finally got around to watching the last episode yesterday. This took me like 2 weeks to get around to it because I couldn't be arsed. But
because you'd heard bad things about it, was it that reason?
I sort of,
because even I've seen that. You know, I'm mostly absent from social media. I go in there from time to time for like 20 minutes. But
well, there was a petition that I think about a million people. So in the grand scheme of things, not that many people, but a million signed to say like, let's just redo the whole last series.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. So there we go. That ties in again.
Yeah.
That ties in.
Right,
again,
yeah.
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, like they're all going to go. They're going to get all the cast back, spend all the money,
fucking
do the
petitions.
Sick
of hearing about fucking petitions.
I think they can't mean it to be serious. If you think about it, all the sets would have been taken down. The amount of money it was spent on that show, and it would have been filmed 6 months ago, maybe more
but
than that.
But people starting petitions and promoting petitions all the time. It doesn't do anything.
It's just
you get so many, they raise it in Parliament. Yeah, they raise it and go, yeah, fuck that.
It's to make a point on that one, isn't it?
So it doesn't make any point, does it? We know.
So the cast know that people aren't happy with it.
Well, then just say you don't like it if you feel you have to pass judgment on something that you couldn't possibly create yourself. But you don't have to start a petition. What is wrong with people? A petition. Like fucking infants.
Yeah, there's a lot of petitions. I think, though, that I watched Game of Thrones. I realised, I was thinking, I don't think I've ever really liked it. I think I watched it because everyone else did. And I thought, oh, might as well join in. I'm not going to do that again on shows, I think.
Why?
Because I'm just going to say, will I like those sort of programmes, Game of Thrones-ish type ones? Generally, no, I don't. Yeah. So let me not join in on the next one.
Was it Stuart Lee said it was Peter Stringfellow's Lord of the Rings? That's what he called it. That was an amazing line.
That's actually probably true, isn't it?
And I don't know. I know what Game of Thrones contained.
I mean, there's loads of those historical. I watched the Borgias, the Tudors or Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, Rome. They're all just like historical, sexy dramas.
Okay,
they're fine. I learned some good history actually, but
not a patch on Caligula. None of them are.
Have you ever
seen Caligula?
No, but I've always wanted, because I know that he was who was in that? Was it Derek Jacobi?
Malcolm McDowell. I think Derek Jacobi was in
it. Yeah,
I think it
had.
So do you know the story of it? What happened with Caligula?
The real Caligula.
No, the story of what happened with that film.
No, I thought it was a TV. Oh no, I was thinking of I, Claudius. That's not Caligula, is
so
it?
So Caligula, the movie Caligula. I'd say it's infinitely watchable. I think I found it very watchable, but it isn't good.
Okay. Who directed it? There was someone well known.
I can't remember the guy's name. He's really famous.
I'm going to look on IMDb because I want to know.
Yeah, do. But he's really, really famous. Anyway, what had happened was they were making two films at the same time and nobody knew.
The director was?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what he was doing, so they'd employed people like Malcolm McDowell.
Peter O'Toole's in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it had an amazing cast.
Oh, it was Tinto Brass.
Tinto Brass, right? Who's known for kind of titillating them sort of films, right?
But Helen Mirren's in it.
Yeah, yeah. No, the cast is exquisite.
John Gielgud.
Right, there we go.
Wow, okay.
Now, unbeknownst to them, what was also happening on the same set is he was also essentially shooting a porno at the same time.
Right.
And the idea was to integrate. So if you watch the uncut version of Caligula, as uncut as you can get it, it is like two films are going on at the same time. So people like John Gielgud and all that sort of thing aren't party to any of these.
Because they think they're doing a serious kind of historical drama. I imagine Mirren was, because she did take her clothes off a bit back in the
but
day,
it,
right?
Not in this manner.
And Peter O'Toole, I didn't think, was aware that
again,
he was in
wouldn't
this
be
film.
Shy about it, but it's a different style of movie that is contained within that movie.
I bet Malcolm McDowell was maybe. I reckon otherwise, Mirren and McDowell would have been more aware.
I'm pretty sure that they weren't involved in the scenes.
So there's just lots of.
So it was being. They were shooting porn films.
Stuff, right?
The orgy scenes is a different matter because that was historically accurate, apparently.
Yeah, Caligula was a filthy little thing, wasn't he?
Horses and shit.
Yeah, it was into all kinds of stuff.
But the actual. What would be classed as. I mean, it's probably kind of softcore porn, really.
Yeah.
In reality, now is how we would term it. But all them scenes are just sort of dropped into the film.
They come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and they supposedly didn't know that was going on. So this film came out that was essentially a bluey.
And so was there a big premiere for it? There was a big red carpet.
I don't know.
Sir John Gielgud's there. Yeah, I know.
It was banned for a long time.
Do you remember there was a lot of films that were considered either video nasties or banned for what, like Clockwork Orange being one as well?
Clockwork Orange wasn't banned.
Oh, no, it was Kubrick that
Kubrick
didn't
himself.
Learn it, did he? Because he didn't like the violence that was coming off the back.
No, it wasn't that. His family were threatened. It was to do with that.
Why were they threatened?
Because of this movie. For whatever reason that provoked this reaction, then he was getting threats to his family, so he withdrew the film.
Okay.
That's apparently what happened.
I hadn't seen it.
The bed. I've stood on my mic.
So when he died, is that when it got re-released? Because I remember watching it and thinking, okay, I need to watch it again. I was too young when I watched it to really understand.
I mean, I'm not a fan of that movie, to be honest with you.
I tried to read the book. I didn't.
Dave Prowse, isn't it? Who plays Darth Vader. He's in it.
I remember when they had, there's a bit with a statue, right? With the sculptress.
The big penis.
But there were a lot of films. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I Spit on Your Grave. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Horrible film.
Horrible film, yeah. Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people were trying to argue it as a work of feminist fiction, but
I Spit on Your Grave?
Yeah, right.
Was that the one same one they killed the turtle in?
I can't remember that. I just remember she gets gang raped on an island. She goes around, she kills them all. And the last scene is she cuts his penis off, chucks it in the sink, and then locks the door. But it's a grotesque. And they've remade it as well, which is a bit weird. Oh, and there were Straw Dogs as well.
She's on a roll.
Because I was really into like all the banned films and watching them.
Ooh, someone's blood's getting up.
They didn't really live up to
Straw Dog. Well, the argument with Straw Dogs, again, as I recall,
there was a big rape scene in that.
Scene, but it wasn't the fact there was a rape scene. It was the fact that there was an inference within the rape scene that the victim was enjoying it. Mm-hmm. That was what the issue was. Please, what are you doing? You put a ball gag in.
Sorry. No, because I was thinking that's also. And if you watch the remake where it's Kate Bosworth and Alexander Skarsgård, it sort of implies it in that too, because
they used
to date.
Okay.
And so she is being raped, but she's not.
Yeah.
There's just a moment where you think, oh, okay, does she actually like that? And so I don't know. I don't think it was Sam Peckinpah that banned that film. I think it got.
No, I think it was banned. I think it was banned.
Right.
Think.
No, I think it
Dodds
was.
Dodds is well up on all these things. But he'll just know about all the video nasties, I would imagine.
I don't know. I just had a weird fascination with watching as many as I could to see, like,
as many banned films as possible.
Well, a few years ago, the BBFC unbanned lots of films, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, again, there's another thing, again, which ties into the theme of the show thus far, which is there are certain actions that you can take which actually fan the flames. So.
Yeah.
Really, there are films that, like, Reservoir Dogs would not have been the hit it was unless it had been banned. It just wouldn't have done.
Was it banned?
It was banned, for quite a long time. And that made it.
On DVD, though?
No,
it came out of the cinema, didn't it?
I can't remember. Something happened over that with the release of it. But it was passed around on Pirate for a long time, I remember that.
Oh, okay.
That fanned the flames of it. So that made people go, oh, well, I want to see this thing I'm not allowed to see.
Of course, that's the natural thing, isn't it? It's the curiosity there to go, why are you telling me I can't watch something? Let me watch it.
So if you're thinking long game as a film director, your best bet is get it banned.
Yeah.
Get it banned smartish, and then later on you can. It's that thing in the film they didn't want you to see and all that sort of stuff. It really speaks to people's.
But then when you watch it sometimes, you're like, oh, okay, right, yeah. But I need to.
There we go.
Oh, so Reservoir Dogs became a box office hit when opened in the UK, but it was banned on. That's it. I thought so. Home video here.
Yeah.
I remember it being at the cinema. Yeah, okay.
So, really, when you think about it, it opened in cinemas in 93 and was banned on home video till 95, which isn't really that far out of the remit of what you'd wait for video anyway.
Nowadays, they come out very quickly on Netflix or whatever, don't they?
Yeah.
But why was it actually banned, though? Was there a particular scene in it, or just the whole
I think it was the whole normalisation of violence is what the argument was, as I recall. Again, I might be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it was that. The casual nature of the violence, the quite horrific violence. But Reservoir Dogs isn't particularly gory as a film. There's only the bit where they cut the guy's ear off. And even that is done off camera.
It's true, actually.
You don't see it. The counter-argument to Reservoir Dogs has and always will be that it's one of the few films that actually shows the outcome of violence. So Tim Roth's shot in the stomach, and he's dying for a long time in agony in that film. Mm. He's not just like, boom, and then he's down, he's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a drawn-out death, that is, which, ironically, then the BBFC will go, well, that's too much, that can't... It's like, no, that's what happens when you get shot. You don't just drop down dead like cowboys and Indians. It's like, you know, you're gone.
Yeah.
It takes a long time for you to be gone. So in that respect, Reservoir Dogs really is a far more considered piece, and is a far more... That should be more allowable than Terminator or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Do you like Tarantino?
What, as a person?
Director.
I don't know him as a person.
That's why I said director.
I loved Reservoir Dogs. I loved Pulp Fiction. I think Pulp Fiction stood up as well. I think Pulp Fiction is an excellent film. I thought Kill Bill was fine.
I love Jackie Brown.
I thought Jackie Brown was fine.
I really liked that film. And I liked
Natural Born Killers was...
He didn't direct that, did he? He wrote it.
I thought it was kind of crap. I think I liked it at the time. And then revisiting it, it's like, oh no, this is actually kind of crap. And is a bit sort of... schlocky and a bit kind of grindhousey. Yeah.
Didn't he write True Romance as well?
Yes,
and I really liked that. True Romance is excellent. Really liked that.
Grindhouse and
the Death Proof, the one with the female cast. I quite liked that one.
Again,
it was all right.
But just kind of a bit of a arty wank.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And
that thing
of
like going, oh, it's a double bill. It's like, give over.
Right. I didn't. Kill Bill was all right. Never had desire to watch it again. The Hateful Eight, I didn't enjoy.
Too long.
And then what's the other one he did? Oh, Django Unchained, I saw.
I've got it, not seen it.
Fine,
I would never
watch it again. And he's got the new one, the Charles Manson.
I guess recent Inglourious Basterds as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess recent Tarantino in like the last 10, 15 years, it's just fallen off for me a little bit.
Yeah.
I was of an age where I guess I would be the generation that would most champion those films like Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction when they came out. But I don't think I've stuck with him.
Well, it used to be a big event, I think. I don't know if to a degree it still is, but I remember when it was like Kill Bill's
coming.
Jackie
Brown flopped, didn't it?
Jackie Brown was the only flop because he'd coming big with Reservoir Dogs.
Listen to film chats.
Yeah, we are. Pulp Fiction was huge, and then even like I think True Romance was maybe around that time was big. Anything he touched at that time was
really
big.
I'm sure True Romance was made and then and nothing happened, but then it was reinvented with Tarantino's name on it.
I watched Jackie Brown again recently, and it stood up for me. So.
Okay. Well, that was good. That was nice.
We've done politics with Trump.
In a way.
Now we've done film.
Yeah.
It's good. Now it's time to get our first guest in.
I've got to put a song on first.
Yeah, yeah.
Tonight.
beautiful South Mina, correct? We're joined now by Mina Ryan. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very
good. Nice. You just said off air this is your first time you've ever done live radio.
Yes, it is.
It's really easy.
Oh, okay.
It is, honestly, because you can't, there's nothing really you can do wrong.
All right, fair enough.
There isn't, and I'm personable, and I'll just chat to you like a human being.
Good,
I will try my hardest to keep it away from promotion, but whilst letting you promote.
Yeah, fair enough, no problem.
But it will just be a real life chat, so it'll be fine.
Good.
So you just, however you do it, just relax. Let's try.
Just talk into the mic more, I would say.
Okay.
Come forward.
Let's,
yes.
Let's be honest, Mina. None of us want to be here.
You don't want to
None of us really want to. No, yourself included. None of us really want to be doing this. This is just like something you've got part and parcel of your job, isn't it? We don't want to be doing it, so we might as well try and make it enjoyable while we're doing
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. No, it seems... Well, I'm changing
we're
changing
my
mic
right
now.
Have you
said
your mic took off yet?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, yes, there is a difference now. I can hear it.
So there you go. If that helps your nerves, you can see what sort of professional organisation's being run here, where they will just run in and just take your mic away from you at any given time.
If it's not on, then we would do, because we actually would like to hear you during an interview, which I would say is being professional, to be honest.
I'd say, though, other radio stations would make sure the mic was working before they started the live broadcast.
Oh, I've worked a lot of them. They don't. I can assure you, they don't.
That was super smooth.
Thank you.
It wasn't.
Well done. Nobody can... Oh, yes.
Bless you for saying that, but it really wasn't... It was awful.
But, you know, any nerves have gone now, haven't they? So it's all good.
And also, it's probably no one listening. It's not what your PR want to hear, but it probably isn't. A lot of people listen to it on the podcast, but I don't think anyone will be listening to it live. I bet we can say tweet now if you're listening. I bet you three people say that they are.
Please tweet now.
Oh, damn.
Let us know if you're following.
We're talking about the Flies, aren't we?
Yes, the Flies.
Today, which is the Exchange Theatre.
Yeah.
In London, that one.
In London, Exchange Theatre is the company, and we're going to be at the Bunker Theatre.
Oh, I see. So I thought, I was getting confusing, because I thought, the Exchange is in Manchester.
But it's the company, isn't it?
Yeah.
Forgive me. The company is the Exchange, and the theatre is the Bunker.
I don't know
London
the Bunker.
Where's
that? London Bridge?
Waterloo. London Bridge, yeah. It's really London Bridge than Southwark. It's a very up and coming, very politically engaged.
Okay.
You know, in terms of like diversity and social and political issues and everything, very engaged kind of theatre. The guys are like on it. So, yeah.
Is that part of your remit yourself? Is that something that's important to you? Or do you just go where the wind takes you? Is it?
Oh, well, sometimes you don't have a choice. But if I can, most definitely. I think it's very, very important, actually.
Okay.
I mean, I love entertainment for entertainment's sake, but if you can actually like convey something, you know, stir people's minds and just, you know, get people thinking when they come out of that
theatre. Totally. I think I'm more of a fan of that when it's subliminal and at worst insidious. You know, when you have that sort of feeling of like, oh no, that was about that. Oh no, I get that. Or that could be about that.
And
you know, I quite like that sort of stuff. I'm more averse to when things are very on the
nose,
I'm not as keen on that.
Yeah, it's not, we're not very in your face because it's still like...
You're allowed to speak, you're not making theatre just for me.
I mean, you can.
It's just my own personal preference.
This is not what it is, because The Flies is like an adaptation of the Oresteia, like Greek myth. So Orestes and Electra and Clytemnestra and all those Greek names.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was adapted by Jean-Paul Sartre in the 40s.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Did you hear that?
I did hear it. I liked
That's
it.
We would have said Jean-Paul Sartre, and she's giving it full on.
How can you say it again?
Jean-Paul Sartre.
That's excellent.
Really good
pronunciation. I could even be wrong, but I just like it a lot.
You might be doing that completely wrong, but I thought it was good.
I believe you. I just liked how it sounded, to be honest.
Making French philosophers sexy since 1943.
Good.
It's an adaptation that was basically he wrote a political piece at a time where if you wrote a political piece, you might, you know, get shot or imprisoned. So it was very subliminal. It had to be. So we're using this again and making it more, it's not in your face. The message is there, but it's not like you have to do this, you have to believe this, or this is the situation, or whatever. It's all metaphors, but I think as humans, that's one of the best ways to communicate.
I agree with you completely. Also, when you said Oresteia then, I remember that I once wrote a dissertation about Oresteia, and I couldn't tell you anything about it now.
I couldn't.
I literally couldn't tell you the first thing about it now, but I remember I had a weird flashback to being in a terraced house in Barnsley just before term started again. sat with a coffee machine that was about 30 years old.
Oristera.
Well, come see the flies. You'll get the whole story.
I like the whole story.
I don't want to be sat there half and go, oh, I remember what happens in this now.
Oh, no, I know how it ends.
It's all coming back to me now.
So go on. So what are the themes that run through this with the flies?
Well, the themes are dictatorship, basically control of the population through disinformation, misinformation, which is kind of what is going on right now in the world. How a population, how people forget they are free, actually. Yeah. And how some people make that decision and some people don't. Some people decide to just follow because it's easier to follow rather than just stand out.
How does it happen? Given that we've spoken about this on the show already today, but how does it happen that it would appear that everybody knows exactly what's going on?
Yeah.
So it would appear that everybody knows what not to trust, what is bollocks, what is...
But we don't know, because then we vote people in, perhaps, even though we know not to trust it, but that's the bit that's baffling me a little bit, but it happens.
If everyone's as clued up as everyone seems to think that they are, which I don't doubt, by the way, I would consider myself, I think I've got it pretty nailed in my head, I think I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but I think I am. But how are people not... There must be some people that aren't.
If I had these answers... Trust me, I would be king of the world. When the facts are actually public,
it's not like this is hidden away. The facts are known publicly.
Yeah.
Mm. So how's...
I don't know. It really feels like lately people can blatantly lie in your face and they still hold on to power. They still go on and the status quo still goes on and nothing seems to be changing, or like it actually seems to be changing for the worse.
Do you think it's I'll tell you this, and I struggle with this so much because I don't want to believe it, but I do increasingly believe it, is do you think it's that the populace of the Western world are actually pricks? Do you know what I mean?
No, I think...
There is a majority of actual horrible people.
I really don't think so, because I don't believe humans are, like, bad, like... You know, internally.
They've got form.
Well, yeah.
In fairness, humans do have form for being, you know, really horrible.
Yes, they do. But I think, you know, in the populace of the Western world, as you said, I think we're comfortable. That's
the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think until we are really pushed, not much might change.
Mm.
Is that very pessimistic?
No, it's not. That sounded very pessimistic. I don't know how you could not be pessimistic at the moment, really. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you... I think you've got two choices, be pessimistic or delusional. You know, it's like...
I think you might be pessimistic and still hopeful and still thrive for change. That's the thing. You can't just be delusional and thinking everything is all right and not do anything, because then, well, we're all fucked.
Yeah. But you could be resigned to the fact that everything isn't all right.
I think resignation is not the answer for sure.
Really?
I think being... that's the thing. To me, resignation is what makes those situations happen. You know, the situation in the flies, the dictatorship and the control. That's resignation to me.
Okay.
It's people who stop trying.
Just kind of give up, right? And just say, that's how it's going to be. Let's not challenge it. Let's not try and change it. If everyone did that, then it would be a disaster.
Absolutely. And I think I understand how we can be resigned, because it seems like every day something new and something terrible is happening. Yeah. And you hear about, you know, the political situation and the environment and, you know, the crisis around the world and everything. And you're like, wow, what can I do? There's nothing I can do. Mm. But I think there's, I don't think we can do, one person can do one big thing and change the world for the better.
But you can get up in the morning and be as good as you can be.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where I'm at the moment. Exactly. I'm like literally going, well, I can't do anything beyond me really now. Mm. That's where I've got to.
Absolutely.
As someone who was previously very politically active, I've now got to the stage going, I can't do anything but be nice to the people that I meet. That's all I can really do now. Mm. And, you know, not be a dick whenever possible.
Yeah.
I'm still a dick sometimes, but you know...
For the right reasons?
Not always, I'll be honest.
Shush, you know? Nat, we're talking. No, you know what I mean? It's like that, and that might seem like a very minor thing, but I've arrived at the point where I've gone, no, that is the biggest thing you can do. Because if everybody did that, then everything would be actually all right, I think.
Yeah. Well, what about the people who are completely opposed to what we think is what they're doing, terrible things. Do you not think that they get up thinking that they're doing, if that's in their mindset, don't you think that they think they're doing the best that they're doing with their day?
I actually don't.
Okay, so you think they're deliberately...
I actually don't.
They
and
know
I've thought
that
about
it's
that
wrong,
quite
yeah?
a lot, about the idea, does a villain know they're a villain?
Well...
Which I think is a really interesting...
Yeah, I think to a certain extent. I think a villain knows why they're doing things.
Yeah.
And they might be... I think there's a part of someone that decides that some things might be sacrificed.
Yeah.
And I think a villain with like quotes, will decide which parts are going to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
For them to get to their goal.
Right, and they would go for the greater good. I have to destroy a few
like
things.
Thanos
or something.
Yeah. Like Thanos and
yeah.
Avengers.
That is. Yeah, yeah, that's true. It's I haven't true, seen yeah. it, but true. I believe you.
No, but,
yeah.
but do you mean that's, a disengaged kind of from Marvel after being a lifelong fan. Yeah. But I do find that... Well, Kylo Ren in Star Wars as well. These are the easy references to make of people that are villains, quote-unquote, yeah. who have... Like, Darth Vader knew he was a prick.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? He surrendered to evil. But yeah. then to have a villainous antagonist within a franchise who truly believes that what they're doing is the right thing. So the Thanos thing in Avengers was exactly the same thing. What he was saying then, the idea of, for the greater good, I'm going to sacrifice half the population,
yeah.
and that would be right. And that was the issue that I had when I watched Avengers. Genuinely, like the darker part to me, where I was watching it going, I'm half on board with this.
It's not wrong.
No, you know what I mean? Yeah. I wasn't like, oh no, yeah, too right, do that.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's a real conflict. That yeah. is, because he's selling this quite well.
Absolutely. I remember watching Watchmen like a few years
yeah,
back.
Yeah.
And then when it got to the end, I was like, I actually kind of agree with that bad guy.
Yeah.
But then again, you're like, no, you shouldn't make that kind of decision, you know?
No, but aren't they interesting things within fiction? Lucy's turn. But they're really interesting things to play with. To someone that isn't like, wah, 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 twiddling the moustache. Yeah. It's someone who actually is thinking, no, I am doing a good thing here.
Absolutely.
Which is a far more terrifying villain. So in many ways, I'd sooner have someone like Trump, because at least you know what you're dealing with there.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not under any illusion.
So he knows what he's doing is completely wrong.
I would have thought so. Is money motivated?
I think that's the thing. It's the motivation. Like, for example, we're talking about Thanos, and Thanos is talking about destroying half of humanity for the greater good,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
for the good of humanity.
Yeah.
I think some people are not motivated by the greater good. They're just motivated by money.
When I was at Houston this morning and it was rammed packed, I would have literally clipped my fingers like that to get rid of half of them people.
Wow.
Just to get me to work.
Oh my God. Well, okay.
You should not have any power.
I didn't know any of them.
Oh God, wow. I mean, but then your power will get too much. Imagine you go into a shop, there's a cube. Nope. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
It'd just be constant,
well,
isn't it?
It'd
be constant everywhere you go.
Now that you say it. Like
yeah, no,
that.
I don't think people should have powers at all.
You could go and take that and go, I'm going to get rid of some of these.
Right, yeah, half the crowd. You're in a cinema, but it's not very noisy. All be gone.
Imagine if it was just Gary Barlow left, though. You'd be like, oh, it didn't work. I rolled the dice.
Why have you worked out the other three members of Take That now? That's what I mean. I would miss Howard.
There's only three left in Take That.
Oh, yeah, Jason Orange left, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Under a cloud.
No, he wasn't under a cloud. He paid his tax, didn't he? That's what he wanted to pay his tax, yeah. Tax properly.
He wasn't on board with the business.
No, he was the only one that wasn't.
See, don't you see, when you came in and I went, honestly, this won't be how you thought it's going to be. We're already now discussing the rights and wrongs of wiping out half of civilization.
Yeah.
And the most alarming thing is most of us are on board with doing it.
We're on board.
I was not prepared for this.
No.
And they'll catch you off guard and you'll go back to PR and they'll go, you said you would consider killing half the population. We're not
you
talking about
yet. You're not on board with this.
No, I would not be on board with this.
You didn't seem upset with Take That going, though, be honest. Not a fan? Not a fan of Take That.
I didn't grow up here, so I think I don't have the same attachment, cultural attachment.
Where are you from?
France.
From France?
Oh, yeah. That's why you said Sartre correctly.
Yeah. You've not even got a hint of an accent.
No.
Gosh, I worked on it like mad.
Did you really? Genuinely? Yeah. For what reason? Why?
Well, I didn't want to just be cast as the French girl because, unfortunately, a lot of the time when they want to cast the French girl, they don't cast a girl who looks like me.
Right, okay. So what did you do? What was your... did you train over here?
No, I didn't train here. I trained back in France and then I moved here. I trained like with lots of different... I didn't go to a drama school here, basically. I've done loads of classes and stuff like that.
Because you're not completely, but you're borderline RP, like received pronunciation, you know what I mean?
I've
That's really, that's honestly
that I would never. I'm shocked. Wait, which part of France are you from, sorry?
Paris.
Okay, so when you go back, do you go back to Paris? By
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do
yeah.
you, what accent, is there another accent that comes
no,
back when you're in the
country? Not French. No, wow. But I struggle with some words. I'll be speaking to somebody and suddenly I'm like, the window, and they'll be like, really? Window? window? Sorry?
Wow.
That's honestly shocking.
I'm shocked too. I can't.
Oh.
Can you imagine if just little bits of a French accent came in and you'd leave and we'd go, bit. All them affectations she was doing.
Right, yeah.
She was a bit full of herself. What did you give me? Sartre.
But it's a bit weird, you know, like talking about French stuff and like having a. I wouldn't be able to say like Jean-Paul Sartre, you know.
I really insulted you earlier by saying I don't even know if you're saying it right, and that turns out she's French. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I've really had to
think. It's too late for that, Matt.
I know. I apologise, Mina. Try not to wipe me out as well in your scheme of taking everyone out.
I wonder if when you click your fingers, you can hope for certain. Yeah, you can sway it in some way.
Just by thinking.
No, but that's the ugly beauty of it. That you don't know.
Clip that, please. Get me a clip of that at the moment where I finally corrupted it completely.
You have, you've left it. A changed woman.
That's the ugly beauty. Let's stop doing this radio show and go and do it right now.
I think you said the necessary ugly beauty.
Yeah. I am genuinely a bit blown away by that. That's really surprised me. I find that a little bit sad.
Sad?
Yeah. Well, I do. That you felt. It's obviously work. I find that a little bit sad. You know, and what you said then, which we sort of skated past, but when you said if they were casting a French girl, they wouldn't cast me.
I mean, they would. I just know that for some auditions or some projects, they're not looking for, you know. I mean, even in France,
for
to be
what?
Honest.
But no, for what? I don't know what you mean.
For somebody though. Who's not white.
Right.
Okay, right.
Not necessarily. I have to say, though, like to the defence of the UK industry, film, TV and theatre, they're much more open than the French one.
Okay, and is that true? So, right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In terms of like representation, where I know that there's a lot to do still.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a massive difference with the French industry where I always talk about that. And I'm not saying that there's nothing good in the French industry at all. Yeah. That's not true at all. There's brilliant directors, brilliant filmmakers and everything. But there's that thing with the typecasting of like the non-white population, basically, which is pretty big in France. And it's usually like in very typecast roles that are not necessarily leading roles, or like when it's leading roles, it's going to be very typecast. And I always talk about that with some of my friends in France, and I always like, okay, so can you just, you know, give me 5 TV shows where the lead is not white? And even further, if you go a non-white woman, and they can't. Like, there's a couple, but they can't. Whereas, like, if you think of, like, the US or the UK industries, I mean, especially in the US, they're doing really good with that.
Yeah.
But it's, it's kind of... I mean, I love the French industry in terms of what they can create. I just think they're quite late on these issues.
Mm. Got you, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it in a condescending way, by the way.
Oh,
no,
it's fine.
I think it's sad. I get anything like that makes me sad, though. Like someone like losing weight because they think they're going to do better, or you know, anything like that.
Oh, you do get that pressure,
But the problem with it is you do.
Yeah,
you do
exactly.
better.
Exactly.
you do.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The bit that needs sorting out. Not you know, not the people. You know, we could name
take those people out that make you lose weight. There are other people for the list then.
No, but both you and I, Nat, could name a number of people.
Oh, who have had to change how they look.
Not had to, but chose
to.
And reaped the benefits.
And annoyingly so, even for them, perhaps they've gone like, it has actually worked out. I've had to sort of change, had to again, but I've chose to change either in weight or in looks or in features
appearance.
Or whatever, in appearance, and have got more work out of it.
Yeah.
I think you should go back French. I think you should wait till your star is at its absolute height. And then, so that people go, oh, what a wanker. Well, like, when you're like, have you heard the voice she's doing now? But it's your actual voice, and that'll be the real confusion that's going on. I want this to
happen. But you'd have to relearn to speak with a French accent right now. If you're used to
a French accent is very easy for me to do.
I mean, I've got to say, that was
natural.
The stupidest thing you've ever said.
No, if you're so... I don't think it is, because how? Because if,
you'd have
if
to
you're,
relearn your
well,
real voice.
Because you're speaking like that all the time now, right? So for so that is your real voice now, I would argue. That,
I mean,
this
you have to relearn it. It doesn't go away.
But you already said that you forgot certain words when you go there, so she would.
Well, it's not the French accent, though.
No, it's true.
That is
but you might do the accent that we do over here, which is generally terrible, in the French accent. The
problem with this plan, Mina, is you'll have to relearn French.
Yeah, you will.
But
you probably forgot.
Yeah.
What, La Fenêtre, we've established already, haven't we? Do you know what? There's a French rugby league player called Théo Farge, who plays for... He's signing your contract today for Saints. He plays for Saints at St Helens, which is where I'm from, in the northwest.
Okay.
But he's proper picked up a St Helens accent.
Oh, right.
So Italian?
He's French, but he knows St. Helens.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
So you don't need to know
French.
Yeah,
you bring it out when it suits you, won't you? No, he has. He's proper picked up a local dialect that's mixed with a French accent.
Ooh,
it's one of the funniest things to listen to.
Yeah, but that's definitely what happens. I mean, you just, you know, get stuff from wherever you're just hanging out with people. You just get what they say all the time.
Yeah.
You just repeat that, and then it becomes the way you speak.
Yeah.
You know how they say, like, you're the average of the five people you hang out the most with?
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's plausible, isn't it, as well?
Yeah,
that's
I think it does make sense. Yeah. Like, even in terms of, like, thinking and everything. But in the way I speak, it's definitely the case. Like, some of my flatmates have definitely influenced the way
I
speak.
Yeah. Are they all posh as well?
Not necessarily. Some of them are.
You're a proper posh household, aren't you?
Oh, God.
Listen, I'd happily speak to you all day. I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you.
Yes.
The Flies is at the Bunker in Southwark Street in London. Opens 11th, so that's a week tomorrow.
11th of June, yes it is.
Tuesday the 11th next week.
Are you in
week.
Good shape for it? Is it looking all right?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's very exciting, yeah.
And it looks like it's a proper
working
ensemble.
Like mad.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but that's the best way to do things, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a proper ensemble cast as well, by the looks of the press release. I wish you all the best with it.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for coming today. And honestly, come on whenever you want.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, guys.
Come back
in. We don't say that to everyone. We say it to a few people.
No, we now say that you are a friend of the show.
Friend of the show is what we say.
We decide when people leave if they're a friend or an enemy of the show.
We do have
enemies. We've got enemies that are never allowed through that door again. But you're allowed in any Monday. You want to pop in?
At the moment, I don't consider you an enemy of the show.
No.
But it is in a state of flux all the time. So it wouldn't take much. Is what I'll say to you for me to sway either way. But presently, I'm delighted.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Friend of the show.
Yeah,
thank
Mina
you
Ryan.
So much.
Yeah.
Absolute friend of the show.
Yes.
At the moment.
Keep in touch, Mina. But we'll keep an eye on you to see if that changes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Nat's in charge of that. You might want to block her on social media.
Yeah. it down like a patience, put it down like a sleep. But when love is a word, not a feeling, you gotta say when I'm deep. Satisfaction is so damn to the brain, as long as it's good to eat. But when love is no longer a question, you gotta say when I'm deep. And I know what you think about me. Thoughts like that sing home to you when I'm deep. Ba 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 ba.
Martins were not deep. That was that special one, the one that was a demo.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, you didn't make it. I don't know why you're saying thanks.
I'm helping promote it.
Oh, okay, that's true.
So I'm doing
thank
that.
Thank you.
We're joined now by Ashley Blaker and Imran Yusuf. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
On. All right. Awesome. Bit knackered.
Yeah.
Had a really long day.
Yeah, we started. We did. What did we do this morning?
No, saying he's knackered.
Oh,
not
you're knackered.
Knackered.
No, you're allowed to be knackered as well. Right, you are. Yeah. Let's have a knackered off. Let's see who's most tired. Right, go on. You started at what time this morning?
What time did we do our
Can I just say now?
Yeah.
I know what we've done today, and it really, we have done nothing. So
right.
Should,
oh, no,
you, so in fairness, you're fasting because it's Ramadan, so I think that's fair enough that you should.
So you're tired because of that?
Well, that, and yeah, I was at the BTS concert last night. I took my niece, that's my excuse.
You know about BTS, right?
No, what's that?
BTS is the biggest like pop band in the world.
Right. Do you know about K-pop?
Not in my house, they're not.
You don't know about K-pop?
No.
Okay. It's Korean pop music. Absolutely huge. I mean, like the massive degree. So BTS are, I mean, the fan levels of it is crazy. Like, they are probably the biggest pop band in the world at the moment.
So you went to that, Imran?
Yeah.
Last night, and that tired you out.
Hold on, BTS are a kids' band.
Was it dancing? Was it all the dancing you were doing?
Thousands of screaming girls around me.
It's tiring.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was tiring. It was terrifying.
How does that tire you out? You're not doing out.
It's just the energy that it takes to listen to them.
Okay, what time? What time,
that's
what
early.
Time? What time did you start your promo this morning, please? Both of you.
What time was it this morning?
It was. I did warn that this is not going to sound good.
Yep.
1 o'clock, 1 p.m.
I left the house at 8 this morning.
Yeah. And in your promo today, did it involve chatting with Chico?
Yeah.
Because that will tire you out. Whatever we had an
extra. Did you have to interview Chico at any point today?
No.
Well, I did.
That's quite tiring because he's so energetic. It's always Chico time. He's always on time.
I thought he was good value.
Loved him.
Although it's going to be on next week's show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I liked him an awful lot.
I did too.
Far more than I thought I'd like him.
I did really like him.
He was proper like, I didn't have to do barely anything in the interview. Because he just bombarded. He did, though, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He bombarded us. It was like proper, like a wave, this wave of energy. And he had a stroke recently. Did you know that?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, Chico had a stroke.
That's terrible.
6 months ago, wasn't it?
It's horrible, horrible news.
Well, I'm glad
has he recovered much of...
Yeah. He looked like he was proper ripped and fit, but he was he's promoting a new... Well, you'll see on next week's show.
Yeah, we'll see. Don't want to give it away for next week's.
He's promoting a new fitness regime thing that he's part and parcel of, and he's...
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. It was
good for him.
You can go. Well, get you some tickets going to his 48-hour fitness retreat. No, I'm not going either. No, I can't go to it either.
His heart seems to be in the right place. I like him a lot. But that's neither in there, is it?
When
we're promoting your thing. So Profit Sharing is the show you're doing together.
Yes.
UK tour. Mm-hmm. Is this Fringe as well, or is it just
no?
Okay,
no.
Smashing. Okay. So you're going from 15. You started already.
Yeah, already in. Yeah, already in. And we'll be adding more dates as we go. But no, not on the. The thing is, this is a bit long of a show. You know, with like Edinburgh, it's like always going to be like an hour long.
Yeah, yeah.
And this show's like 2 hours of okay. stage time. So I don't think how we'd fit in really into an Edinburgh format.
Is it shared stage time?
So we do a bit together. We do a bit on our own. I do a bit on my own first, then Imran, then we do about half an hour together.
Okay.
Based off audience questions, we give out a questionnaire okay. when they come in. Weren't sports on them, but we have some questions which they answer, and it's pretty much ad-libbed that half an hour, and it's great fun for us to do that.
And what's the show built around? Is it a themed show? I presume it's a themed show.
Well, it's about our. I'm an Orthodox Jew. Imran is a, in his own words, an unorthodox Muslim.
Nice.
But it's about religion as a title.
It was
profit
a great
sharing.
Moment there, actually, where you actually looked as if you didn't know.
And well, Imran, I kind of want to check. Check he's happy with me.
That's what we've put on the promotional materials. Yeah, just we've got very different experiences in how we've grown up with faith and then how we've chosen to embrace it ourselves.
Okay.
And Ashley is most definitely an Orthodox Jew.
Yeah.
And I'm most definitely now, almost reaching 40, an unorthodox Muslim, which means, look, I still understand my faith. I've read my book.
Yeah. I'm fasting at the moment.
Yeah. I've put a great deal of thought and effort and investment in understanding my faith is a very important thing to do. But I might have broken a couple rules here and there.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm not a bad person. I'm not hijacked a plane and flown it into anywhere. So I'm on the good side of the force.
We'd know, wouldn't we?
Yeah, you would. I mean, it might be on the news.
I mean, Ashley would be here on his own.
And it says on the back of the flyer, we're the most unlikely duo since. Kermit and Miss Piggy, because I know you're a big Muppets.
I am a big Muppets fan.
So that was there for you.
Oh, bless you. So what's the thinking about? Do you know each other already, or have you been put together?
No, we worked. I was a producer for many years in TV. And I actually booked Imran on a few shows. I actually reminded doing another interview that I booked him on pilots that haven't been bought. So he's a bit of a kiss of death, actually.
Well, no, but that's not exclusive to you as a producer. You were the one that never got anything away.
No. So I've had Imran as it has appeared for me on a few unsuccessful pilots. I think I might have you ever been on anything that actually TX of mine? I don't know. But anyway, we became
that
friends.
Means transmissions.
On transmission, yes, actually, yeah. Use industry lingo. And. Yeah, and then actually, we became friends. We're both big Liverpool supporters, that should be said. And that we bonded over that. And then Imran came and saw my show in Edinburgh last year. And, I had this idea, it'd be fun for us to do a show together.
I've got this theory about producers.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Because you were at BBC a fair bit.
I was at the BBC for a long time. Yeah, I mean, I started doing stand-up about 4 years ago, and then it took off in a way that I stopped producing.
I think all producers are frustrated performers.
A lot of them are. Yeah, that's true.
That's dangerous.
I didn't think that's a theory. I mean, that's a fact. I mean, a lot of them are, yeah.
But isn't that worrying when people... I'm not throwing this accusation at all, actually, but I find that quite worrying when people use opportunities for themselves. Do you know what I mean? When opportunities come in the door.
Well, I haven't, but I'm not accusing you. I don't mind if you were too.
I mean that, really.
But I never got to... It was always... I genuinely would sit... in like the gallery in a TV show or back in a radio show and I'd be like producing a panel show and I would be screaming like why isn't this person saying this like there's like a tap in for them and they're not taking it and so I was always a frustrated comedian and a lot of producers writers as well and funny people but don't really have either the stage presence or confidence or whatever it is, but I always wanted to do it, and then it came by accident. Actually, so
have you split that now though? So now is
no,
it,
I didn't do any producing.
Yeah, that's it. So it's totally a leap into the other bit.
So you're fine with that now. I mean, I'm not even supposed to be in the studio. I insisted on it. Ian's always trying to get me out, and I just make sure I sit. But I say no, you can't. I have to be in here too.
On my Patreon, right? I do. I reckon at least 3 podcasts a week, where it's just me talking on my own for like up to an hour. And I don't break a sweat. So I don't need any. I don't need any guests.
But that was in your contract. I had to be in here.
I could literally just be sat here talking.
Exactly.
Be more engaged.
We might try that soon, but probably not.
So you knew each other already anyway. And,
yeah.
And it's sort of, whose idea was it to do this?
Ashley's
was
idea.
Was it Ashley's idea? Yeah, so the producer's idea.
Producing.
Oh, we were both up at the Edinburgh Festival last year doing our own shows.
Yeah.
And I've been up to the Edinburgh Festival a number of times, and I learned how to play it right, you know. Mm. Do your show and then also go and enjoy the festival yourself, like outside of, you know, your own show. So I tried to watch as many shows as I could, and I saw Ashley was up in. And was it your first time at the festival?
It was my first time.
So I was like, well, I've got to go, you know, see the show. Went to see his show and learned a lot about him and his journey with his faith. And it kind of, you know, stuck with me. Something very different to what you might see at the festival.
Mm.
And then somehow after the festival, we got together and this conversation happened. Let's do this and. Here we are.
Yeah, no, my first as a performer, I should say, not my first festival.
Oh, yeah, of course. Is there any other...
So you, I've seen you there.
Yeah. What did you see me in there?
I think Big and Daft.
Oh, God. Yeah. That, do you know what? Big and Daft has been raising its head again recently. Because I did a big retrospective about it, because I do Patreon.
Right.
And I did a big retrospective. I spoke to Rob and John again. I'd not spoken to them for years. And we all sort of got in touch again. And I know that Rob did Richard Herring's podcast last night. Right. And I know that Big and Daft, because Richard told me this morning... Because Richard had asked me for questions for Rob, and they were all kind of Big and Daft related in terms of his behaviour at that time, and it's being spoke about again now, which I don't yet know if I'm comfortable with.
Right,
I remember I'd kind of divorced it. You know?
Well, I was at the BBC in I joined the BBC in 1999,
Which was our first year of the French.
Right, and I was part of a TV department. I was in Sutton Reading, then I moved to. New Comedy Entertainment. My boss was Miff Anne Wemore.
Yeah, with Miff and Simon Lupton and Neris,
I worked with Simon and Stephen D. Wright and a few other really good people. And we had a small department. And I remember they were developing a show with a Big and Daft show for UK Play.
Yeah,
did that go on UK Play? Do you have a
we
show?
We did one thing on UK Play. We did Terraville, which we did with Gary Reish from Chrysalis.
I remember. Yeah.
Which wasn't particularly good, but it was like it was our first TV that we'd ever done. So it was all on green screen and stuff. It was an interesting thing to do. Ultimately, the demise of Big and Daft came from a manager who basically told the BBC to go fuck themselves without our knowledge.
Not a good idea.
You know, just said they wanted to. We had a big development deal with the BBC, and that manager went to the BBC and said, "I'm going to get you out of this development deal." And we were like, "What? Why? Why are you doing that?"
Is he still working?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, he's still working. I'll tell you off air, but I think we both know who it is.
Right, okay.
But back to you. Don't put me trying to resurrect something from 1999.
Oh, my goodness. Trip down memory lane.
I've enjoyed it as well when I've been talking about it recently. It's been, for a long time, I shunned it as part of my history. And I did Peacock and Gamble, and then I did the Ray Peacock podcast, then Peacock and Gamble. And I felt like, okay, I've moved on from that now. And I've now cultivated something that's built around me, really, and then around myself and Ed. Of late, as I've been doing some soul searching and stuff, that's certainly come back. I've thought about it a load recently. I've written about it a load recently.
It's like that moment you reach. How old are you?
I'm 45.
Right, cause I'm 44.
24.
I'm 44, and I think everyone's a little bit younger. You've got this to come. Proper midlife crisis where
it's not felt like a crisis though.
No, a crisis. But midlife crisis. The thing where you you start thinking about your, you know, you start looking up old girlfriends on Facebook, and you start looking into your old life.
I'll
just
never
me.
Do that.
And you're like looking at your, you know, and you think about all those old projects and old things you did. And funny enough, I was talking to Alex Lowe, you know, Alex, Barry from Watford, last night, and he was reminding me about a couple of shows we made, and one of them which I'd completely forgotten. And it was I love thinking about those old things.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes the best things, you know, don't have, you know, talking about some of the pilots we did in, you know, it's like sometimes there's some great things that just never get seen.
But I think it's only when you make peace with that yourself. So it's only like I know.
Oh, I never make peace.
I absolutely have. I find it really funny now. Because me and John Williams, John who's in Big and Daft, myself and Rob, me and John were talking about it, me and Rob, because we spoke separately, we did podcasts separately. And me and Rob were talking about how many meetings we ruined that were really important meetings. But because we were like sort of early 20s and quite excitable and wanted to go to the BBC, the Blue Peter Garden, we just ruined the meetings. Mm. And it was the fact that we, out of every single meeting we had with Gary Reish, who was formerly BBC and then went to Chrysalis, every single meeting was disrupted by one of us asking Gary where his wife was and why do we never see his wife, because he's a gay guy. And that level of childishness, to the point where Reish was like, Right, we've done the joke.
Right. Yeah, in fairness, I once had a meeting with Gary Rish when he started Brown Eye Boy. Yeah. I wanted to call him Badly Drawn Boy. Was interrupted by the most enormous dog that he had, which scared me so much. But he actually had to lock it into an office. I was petrified of his dog.
Do you know what you yearn for them days now? Now that everything's so sanitised and everything's so... there's a bit of me that yearns for that now, for that sense of the underlying anarchy to it.
The funny thing is, actually, the first time I worked with Imran was on a pilot of a TV show, which I actually did three... We managed three pilots off and didn't end up getting booked.
Okay, what was this?
And
the
second
the
one... Well, it was a show called... It was originally on Radio 4 called Act Your Age.
Yeah.
And then we did a pilot for it at the BBC and then two pilots at ITV. And the second pilot we did at ITV starred Rob Rouse.
Oh, really? Yeah,
little connection.
And then whatever happens to him. It's finished now, isn't he? It's gone.
Career's over.
I think Rob's found his feet again. I think Rob is in exceptional form at the moment. And I did think, this is a thing that I have very strongly with people that I've worked with, where I will keep one eye on their career whilst trying not to look. And always in kind of quite a judgmental way. I'm always like, oh, what are you doing that for? That's not who you are at all. Why are you doing that? And I had that little bit with Rob. And then subsequently, I think he came through that. I think he was charmed a bit by TV and charmed a bit by the idea of being a telly star, which ultimately, I think, quite badly damaged his stand-up, you know, what he was doing, because it was all geared differently. And when he refound that, when he found the balance between the two things, and he does Upstart Crow and stuff now, and, you know, he still does plenty of telly, but his stand-up, I think, is better than it's ever been, Rob's stand-up now. And I'm quite comfortable with that. I'm quite happy. I'm happy that that's the case with him, which sort of proved to me personally, it was never a jealousy thing. It was never like, oh, I wish I was doing that. It was always like, oh no, you're miles better than that. Why are you doing those things? You're miles better than them. So yeah, he's in good form, eh? But none of this is selling your show, which is profit sharing.
Yes, let's sell our show.
How would you sell it? How are you getting people through the door? Is there any controversy to that? Is there any reaction to it?
Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting? Are you a football fan?
No, not at all. Rugby league, mate.
No, rugby league.
Yeah.
Yeah. What team?
Saints.
I was going to say the football connection was so. You know, in European football, like you have home and away matches, you know that much.
Yeah.
Like you put a home match and away match. So the way this tour works is there are several nights which are like my home matches.
Okay.
Like we've got shows in North. We did, we had two nights, two sold out nights at the Radlett Centre a few weeks ago. Yeah. We've got shows coming like JW3 in North London. Got another show coming up in the Arts Depot in Finchley. And then for like Imran, they're like an away match. That's very much like And then like we're going to Bradford next week.
Right.
And that's like definitely my away games.
Yeah.
You know, and so we've got very different. And then we did a show at Harrow, which was completely mixed. There were Jews, there were Muslims, there were people of other faith, no faith. You know. So interesting mix of people. No, we haven't really faced too much.
But with that idea of home and away, do you feel that in the room on those nights?
Well, when we did the two shows in Radlett, they were almost 100% Jewish.
Okay.
And I felt completely warmly welcomed.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's what I mean. Yeah.
So I don't know if I could, to be honest, every gig I do is away, in essence of when you think about, as a comic, I've been going about 14 years.
Yeah.
I'm entering a cultural space that my own people did not create, but get to participate in, if this makes sense. And broadly speaking about, you know, this is a place where alcohol is imbibed, a cultural space which has been created by white men, effectively. But I've been welcomed into it. It's not been easy. It's not always been perfect. It's not always been welcoming. I've gigged in Kent, right? we've all got a horror story from some parts of Kent.
Yeah.
But for the most part, 99% of the time, it's been great. I've been welcomed. But there is an element of, look, here's somebody that you're there isn't loads of people like me on stage. I mean, there is now. There is much more so now. But I never kind of felt like this isn't for you. Get out, you know.
I remember when you first appeared to arrive in comedy, and you're right, it wasn't. There weren't many.
Yeah.
You know, there really weren't.
So everything kind in a way has always felt like a bit of an away game. But I'm competent enough to exist in that environment. Like, at the end of the day, you're speaking
English.
Don't
call yourself competent.
Yeah, but also...
What sort of self-promotion is that? I'm competent.
that these jokes will be satisfactory.
But also, there's a big difference that, like, if you perform in a, I don't do the circuit. I've never really done clubs. But
good
if
for you.
if you do the circuit, right, which you obviously you're talking about, you know, gigs in Kent and what have you, there are people who have turned up to their local comedy club in a pub or whatever, and they've no idea who the comedians
are.
They're not coming to see you here. They're buying, you know, the tickets aren't cheap either. They've paid £20 to come to see us. It's not like they're going, oh, we paid and this Muslim bloke came out. They know what they're coming for, so so it's great. And so it's not like it would be a strange anti-Semite or Islamophobe who wanted to come and see this show. But,
I guess a home
which
a
is
home
not solvent.
It's not a show for you. Yeah.
A home gig for me is probably almost any night at the Comedy Store.
Okay.
That's the closest to me. I performed when the Comedy Store had a gig in Bombay. That was weird because I'd walk out and the Indian people go, well, he's one of them. He's British, he's not one of us. Then they'd hear me speak Hindi and they go, oh, right, he's kind of one of us, but he's one of them at the same time.
Right.
And I occupied this middle space where Indian people are like, okay, we're going to claim some of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though he speaks like those people over there.
Like the perfect compa.
And it was really weird. I didn't know that I could, even though I speak Urdu or Hindi at home, I don't speak it fluently to the level. Like, if I went and lived in India, I couldn't start a business necessarily. Mm. I'd be in trouble. But I can get by, like, perfectly fine. Like, conversational level, perfectly fine. And I didn't know that I could jump between languages until I'm there on stage in Bombay and it just came out. And I was like, this is amazing. I felt invincible.
Yeah.
But now all the Indian comics are massive stars and I'm completely irrelevant.
You can be unknown, but you're not irrelevant.
Oh, thank you.
When you do your promotion, these are important things to say.
Where do you stand on the Tebbit test there?
The Tebbit test? No. What's that?
Shows my age. My references are very contemporary, aren't they?
It's a brilliant reference.
Norman Tebbit. Yeah.
I've heard of this name.
So it's a Norman Tebbit, right? Conservative MP.
Yeah.
Who said there was a test of which team, if England are playing India, who do you support?
What? But this is you mean in cricket?
In cricket.
I don't care about cricket. This is
in any sport.
This makes me not British nor Indian, to be honest. Football is the only sport that actually matters, really, in the world of sport.
Yeah.
I mean, why play other sports?
We should preface this by saying that Norman Tebbit was a nasty cunt. For some reason, Norman Tebbit has been slightly reinvented.
I don't know about that, but only because we live in an era of George Galloway and Donald Trump and whatever, and a lot of other people who make Norman Tebbit seem quite cuddly.
But he was a vicious shit, wasn't he, Tebbit?
In a way, there's a truth to that. But this is both true for Asian people here and West Indian people here. We'll support, you know, England in the football, but when it comes to cricket, it does. And I saw this in high school.
Yeah.
And I saw this.
Is that because India are terrible at football?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there isn't an Indian football team, as far as I know.
Right, okay.
You know, they once weren't allowed in the World Cup because they wanted to play barefoot.
I heard this and I didn't believe it.
I think it was a Trivial Pursuit question.
I don't know if I could believe this.
I remember when I was a child, my first Trivial Pursuit set, I think it was.
Because they wanted to play barefoot.
Yeah. Barefoot, that was a question. Yeah.
So. I don't know.
It was also a joke
in
the. There was a racist joke, I remember, in the playground, being asked about that as well, which I won't repeat. But it involved what happens when they get a corner.
Oh, yeah, they build a shop on it.
Right.
We all know that one. That's right, exactly. Not horribly racist.
That was it. That was racist.
That was
you that was racist then, not
us. But also, you said your parents had a corner shop.
Well, we had a shop that was just off the corner.
Okay.
So it wasn't on the corner. We were just like, look, we have to open a shop.
Social climbers.
But yeah, we're going to go one off the corner, so we're not going to fulfill the stereotype.
Yeah. Well, look, I've got it's 30:30. It's been lovely having you here. So where are you next? And what's the date today?
Today is next Tuesday. You're in Leeds.
Leeds and Bradford, and then
Leicester, Salford,
Leicester with the Lowry and Salford, big one. Milton Keynes, we're coming to
Birmingham, and then London.
Both of those are sold out already.
Okay,
so we added an extra date: Monday, the 17th of June. At the Art Depot in Finchley.
How is that as a venue, the Art Depot?
The Art Depot, it is nice. I mean,
they don't sell it very well, do they?
Well, it depends how you...
it's not near a tube, is it?
It's not. It's not.
No, it's not. It took me 35 minutes to walk to a tube. When
what,
I left
from
there.
West Finchley? It'll take you all that 10 minutes. Illegal.
No, it was far.
It's about all 10, 15-minute walk, I think, from Woodside Park Station as well. It's more for local people of that area.
But they don't advertise for local people. I've got a friend who lives on Nether Street, and he says he's never had anything... ever through. I used to live on Nether Street.
I did three nights there.
Never had anything.
Just a laundering operation.
No, I did three nights there in a row. on my last tour, two, three years ago, whatever. Yeah, I did three nights in a row. I did like a Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday there.
Yeah.
And it's like 1,200 seats to sell. You know, so you'd think they might help you a little bit.
Yeah, they should push it.
But they don't, because if they've got this odd thing there, and we're just now here just slagging off venues now.
No, let's do it.
People who are not involved in the club won't know this, but a lot of theatres have got like program events where they program it, and then it's in their program, whatever. And then they also have hires.
Yeah.
And they have this funny thing that they're like two different departments. And if you hire it, they won't promote it at all.
Right. Okay.
They even have an advert. They have an advert every week. The Arts Depot. In the you've started me off on a bugbear. No, actually, now I'm just going to keep going. They have an advert in the Jewish Chronicle.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't advertise my Jewish comedy show in the Jewish Chronicle.
JSA,
even in that, they wouldn't
it?
Put it in. They go, no, it's not. You're not programmed. We're not.
So really,
it's kind of nuts.
That land was better off as a car boot sale as it used to be.
Is that what it was?
It was a bus
you live around there.
I
lived
around there many years ago. Right. I lived right around. I used to work at the Sally Hope pub.
I used to drink in there.
I better served.
The first snooker club I belonged to.
Snooker?
There was a snooker club around the corner.
Yeah, that's
the Tally Ho Snooker Club. Do you know?
It's gone now, hasn't it?
I don't know. It was years ago. And we used to play snooker and then go into the Tally Ho. And I used to play a quiz machine in there.
Hasn't this been a lovely afternoon of reminiscence?
Well, reminiscence is lovely.
Best of luck with the rest of the tour. It's called Profit Sharing, Ashley Blaker and Imran Yusuf. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it.
And best of luck. I hope it goes sort of fantastic well for you. And do it again. We could do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to put Christina Aguilera on Dirty.
Dirty. Nasty. Yeah. Too dirty to clean my act up. Yeah. If you ain't dirty, you ain't here to party. Ladies, move. Gentlemen, move. Somebody ring the alarm. A fire on the roof.
Get it fired up. the maximum. Uh-oh, here we go, here we go. What to do when the music starts to drop? That's when we take it to the parking lot. And I bet you somebody's gonna call the cops. Uh-oh, here we go, here we go.
A jam like a summer show. I keep my car looking like a crash dummy drove. My gear look like the bank got my money froze. For their presidents, I pant like Putty Roll. That's the one that excites your divas. F the media shine, I'm shining with both of the sleeves up. Yo, Christina, better hop in here. My block live and in color like Rodman hair. The club is packed, the bar is filled. I'm waiting for Tristan to act like Lauryn Hill. Frankly, it's a rap, no bargain deals. I drive a four-wheel wide with foreign wheels. Throwing up, baby, it's Brick City. You heard that. We blessed and hung low like Bernie Mac. Dogs, let them out. Women, let them in. It's like I'm ODB. They're what y'all think then.
Christina Aguilera, Dirty. What we're dealing with in the industry at the moment is dealing with the youth.
We are trying to get
who are doing
our
all
next
social
guest,
media,
Instagram
shit.
Live. They are going to go
doing all these things. Yes, you too.
Oh, should I
wrap
my head?
Yeah, you can put.
I think it's nice too. You can hear. You don't have to. Not everyone likes to.
We're joined now by Dino Fetcher, Antonia Miller. Hello.
Hello.
How are we?
Hello. Hello.
Good, very well.
You're doing all your social media stuff. I noticed that. Yep. Do you know what? This is the story of my life in this studio. The last thing that's taken into consideration is the actual radio.
That's not true.
No, it is. I've got people coming, constantly moving cameras about and stuff, so you can do social media.
Yeah.
But it's ruining the actual show.
Oh, it's not.
In order to,
we're all having a nice time, aren't we?
No, this is the first time I've ever used Instagram Live.
It's,
so
it's going well.
How old are you?
Well, I'm 30 years old.
Well, grow up. What are you doing?
Hey.
Well, I don't know. You just like it, streams it constantly, I guess.
Yeah, I think.
And what's the point of it?
So you both, people like messaging now, going hi.
Ian, get on board, Grandad. This is the future. It's not going to go backwards now.
No, because it means that you're not. Look at this. That exactly.
What's
what
I'm pressing. I'm with you. I'm looking
at
you.
It means you're not concentrating. What you're
concentrating.
You're not.
Baby, you have my full attention.
You're clearly not concentrating because you're too busy doing your social media.
Yeah.
And then what will happen then is the social media will be a huge success and the radio show is a write-off.
No, because they're adding to it. They're adding some stuff on the screen.
It's all for you.
To bring up,
fine.
Sir.
It's all for
so
you,
just
Ian.
get with it.
What do you want to promote?
Years and years.
Do it quick.
Well,
we've got 22 minutes. Come on.
Well, it's a hit, isn't it?
I don't know about years and years. Yeah. I don't watch any telly. That's the thing. So it's not. Okay. It isn't.
Can you not watch any telly?
There we go. There we go. That's a problem. Both drank at the same time.
Why is that a problem?
What you need to do is you need to sync it. One of you is doing it. So,
Okay.
Noted. I tell you what, I struggle. I really wish I did because I enjoy it. I do enjoy it. And I just find my time management is so poor that I can't invest in something that's long running or certainly something that's like Game of Thrones, for example. It's just a write-off to me. I wouldn't be able to start
season
it.
Season one. I'm on season one.
What? Do you still want to watch it or do you feel
I
like maybe.
Do. I mean,
it's
it might
a lot.
Take me a few years, but I think I'll get there.
It's a lot to deal with.
It is a lot. But you've got a whole journey to go on.
Oh, man.
It's very exciting. Right. I've still not seen the end of the. I'm on the newest one, but.
Yeah.
It's good.
They'll die at the end. Ruined it for you.
No.
I've got no idea.
They don't all.
Spoiler. They don't all. So some do. Some of them die
at
the end.
But you've watched Game of Thrones, so some of them die every series. Yeah, it's not that big a spoiler.
What are you doing? You're trying to get it on you. She's moving my Instagram live to be on her.
Now, Tania, have you got any idea how awful this sounds on the radio for people that are just listening to the audio? Just people mucking about with the phones?
Not me, her.
No, you're doing very well, do you know?
Thank you.
It's Tania who's the issue in this room at the moment.
Oh my God, I'm taking you back to school. It was my school. It was exactly a lovely child, but could do better.
Distracted.
Very chatty in class.
Would excel if she only applied herself and concentrated.
Oh my god, that was it. You see, I couldn't even remember what it said in the school book, but it was those words.
Because you weren't concentrating.
Wow. I know.
Yeah, so if I'm seeing it now, having known you for 5 minutes.
Oh lord.
Is there That's perhaps some weight to this?
Maybe a smidge.
Well, shall we, in our remaining time here today, shall we try and sort that out?
Yeah. Let's sort it out. I mean, if you could cure me, it would be great.
Yeah, then whoever the next person you're interviewing will get the benefits of that. But I don't mind that. I don't mean...
Meanwhile, your show's ruined.
I'll fall on my sword if it means that some other poor presenter doesn't have to sit through this during their show.
Well, another presenter here, Harriet, actually says that she's hearing you and watching Dino live at the moment. So let's say hi to Harriet.
It's just a weird life.
It's the new way of living, Ian.
It's very
embrace
tiring.
It or get off.
What's the new way of living now?
With this. See, for me, I'm not fazed by this because this happens all the time. And generally, people in, they don't normally tell you. They just go live on stuff. Okay. They film the whole thing.
And
it's
see,
all.
We're polite.
See, yeah, you are.
There you go.
Yeah.
Permission.
We discussed it.
Yeah. See, I'm
this
very
is what
used
happens.
To this.
This is what you're doing. What's happened there is we've rewarded bad behaviour. Yeah. And we've validated bad behaviour, which means that nobody has learned at the end of it.
Anyway, years and years on BBC.
Years and years. Why haven't you watched Years and Years, Ian? What's wrong with you?
I reckon there would be a queue before it of stuff that I'm meant to watch that I've not watched. And that's no disrespect to the programme. That's just the thing of like going, I've literally not got the hours in the day. And if I did have, I'd probably love it.
Well, do you want me to tell you what it's about?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so
don't spoil it too much.
I won't give any spoilers. No. But it's about a family called the Lyons family.
Yeah.
And it follows them 15 years into the future on the path that we're following at the moment in terms of what's going on with technology.
Politically.
Socially.
Yeah.
And it's
so
quite
scary. So go back. So it follows them. It's 15 years in the future from now.
Yeah, it starts now and then it accelerates into the future. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember we had Maxim on the show told us about that. Maxim Baldry.
No.
You came in just before it aired. I know I appreciate I book a lot of TV people for you. You had the same show as the Chernobyl guy.
I've spoken to everybody
Chernobyl
from
guy?
Oh, Robert Emms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was great. And so that's fine. I'm watching that at the moment. Highest rated. Yeah, good show. Good show.
Yeah.
As is Years and Years.
You've not seen that either.
Well, my brother's told me to watch that as well, so that might have nudged ahead in the queue.
What do you have to do today to nudge us ahead?
Convince my brother to tell me to watch it.
But okay. Gareth. What's your brother's
What's his name?
Gareth. Get your brother Ian to bloody watch it.
Yeah, we're from Lancashire, not Yorkshire. But that was close.
Hold on, Lee Latchford Evans is in it. We've talked about the Latch a lot on the show, Latch. And he makes an appearance in an episode.
In Years and Years.
From Steps.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
You're meant to be selling this to me.
Yeah. Oh, we love
it. I didn't know you need to say Lee from Steps, then you know.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. We talked about the Latch quite a lot. In fact, someone that used to work on the show texted me one week and was like, oh my God, with a screenshot going, the Latch is on. Was really excited about it.
There was one day on this show where I got slightly obsessed with getting him on the show.
Oh, okay.
Because I've only met him once. I met him one time because he used to go out with Pooja Shah.
Were you like a big Steps fan?
God, no. That's ridiculous.
Who was
it? In fact, I had stand-up about Steps. I remember this the other day. I forgot about it. Where I used to slag off Steps on stage and I used to particularly focus on H.
Do you know that's what it stands for?
Hyper, yeah. But he was the focus of my anger on stage.
Oh,
and
really?
I used to have a line that said, he loves being in Steps, doesn't he? He's always waving and sticking his tongue out. At least the dark-haired lad has the common decency to look a bit fucking embarrassed about being in Steps.
Ouch.
Yeah, no, I was pretty brutal.
Wow. Mine is brutal.
But H's life got sort of ruined, didn't it? Because he had the same name as your man from
Ian Watkins.
Imagine. Do you reckon he sued, though, and got a lot of...
I think he went to court about something.
I
hope he did, because he would deserve it for the amount of stuff he got on Twitter. And why would I be still... If I've just been convicted, he's still tweeting away and they're still going...
Because
why
people
are
idiots.
They are idiots, that's very true.
Absolutely idiots.
They are stupid.
Look at the John Lewis guy every Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely idiots.
Have you seen the guy on Twitter? He says, none of these complaints are for me. It's John Lewis. Some guy in America called John Lewis. So people get it wrong on Twitter and just tweet him constantly.
So I think there's some people who just presume that will be their Twitter. John Lewis, I'll do that. And he just gets all this stuff all the time. Okay, go on. So you go, I've got so far, 15 years in the future.
So yes.
Yeah.
Goes into the future and explores kind of it's set in our world, so it's exploring the path that we're on in terms of what's happening in America, what's happening in our government, in our world.
Yeah,
I'm trying not to give anything away.
But I think mainly
it's quite dark.
Dark, but it's also really hopeful, I think.
Absolutely.
I don't like hope.
No hope.
Oh, you've got a bit of hope.
I mean, I'd say the darkness is
Does everything
is
go
heavy.
Wrong, otherwise I'm not watching it. I mean, otherwise you're sugarcoating
I mean, it's scary in places, but then, you know, you're sort of like, one minute you're sort of laughing your head off, and next minute you're in tears, aren't you? Or just shock horror, like, oh my God, that's so fucking close to life. Would you agree, right?
I would, yes.
That's what makes it really scary, but it's really positive.
How many seasons have there been so far?
This first season,
there's six episodes, right? Yes. And the next one is on tomorrow. Yeah, it's easy, right? It's on American one where there's 25 episodes.
So it's just new? A six-parter. Yeah, it's new.
We're on the fourth episode tomorrow, but you can't start tomorrow. You've got to watch.
You could have Googled this before
we
came on.
No, but you could iPlayer. It's on iPlayer.
Gabby Roslin
yesterday did her research. She even knew it was like Get Mr. Gay UK 2009.
And which one? That was amazing. The face she was like, oh, why'd you keep bringing that up? Because I told you to say it.
Absolutely, you
did, not.
You paid me.
You're Mr. Gay UK.
No, I'm not. It's a joke.
No, you can't. See, all your Instagram followers are just saying you do that. So you tried to do something to tell her to be quiet. But everyone has seen it now because you're on the internet.
I was in 2009, 10 years ago.
Were you really? Yeah. What did you have to do for that?
Just basically wear a.
really?
Costume round.
For how long?
A costume round. And I was a rugby player.
Really? Had to be what?
There was like a costume round. I was a Welsh rugby player. I got interviewed. It was fun.
Where did you? Who did you play rugby for?
I didn't. It was just a
costume.
Oh, you had
to dress up as one.
You had to have a costume.
That's quite a commitment. You actually have to go and play rugby to be Mr. Gay. You actually have to go and play a match.
I don't know.
That's a quite.
There's loads of gay rugby players.
No, I know, but I thought for the competition it'd be a bit much to send him out to play a rugby match. Just to come in, you have to play a rugby match, have to do that. No.
It was just a costume.
What was your prize? What did you win? Just the title?
A holiday in Tenerife and some cash.
That's good.
Holiday in Tenerife? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was glam.
Nice. Who did you go with?
My best mate, Lucy, from home.
Now, you don't seem like you're proud of it particularly.
No, you know what? It was a really great experience. It really was. I worked with amazing charities and it was great. And I learned a lot from it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that you do when you were much younger and it makes you cringe. You go,
isn't that difficult? That is a difficult thing. And that's the thing about the idea of thinking further down the line.
Yeah.
And it's like, so if you had desires on being, you know,
I always have, yeah. But it was kind of like I entered on a whim in a club and you're drunk and they're like, oh, you should enter. And I was like, okay. And then I won my heat.
What did you say?
Okay. But I didn't win my heat. I came second.
Okay.
But then the first guy who won was disqualified for being straight.
Was that Jay? Do you know what? I was going to say that as a joke. Is that Jay? What happened? Amazing.
And then so I went to the final and it was all paid for and I was like, ooh, I was 19. And then somehow I won and I was like, oh, fuck, I won.
So were you not worried then when you went on the prize holiday with a lass?
What do you mean? Like, that was going to blow my cover.
Yeah, like they might go, well, hang on.
No.
Is this lady is taking
I was
with
not.
Right, okay, fine. You thought you could, you convinced me.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think that is interesting when you have something like that and you pass.
Yeah.
If you hadn't won it, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Because you won it. That's it, isn't
that?
That
was the first thing that went through my head when I won. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I went, oh, shit. And it was for me, it was
what
a thing
was the
in my
cash?
Head.
How much cash was it?
$2,000.
Okay, so that's a fair chunk of wedge.
Yeah,
that's all.
Because this is what I've always wanted to do, and it was like, you know, a thing you're told a lot. I don't think it's true so much anymore, but being gay and stuff, I was like, it's going to be a big obstacle. But it really hasn't been.
No, it wouldn't be, I don't think.
No.
But I mean, I say that as someone that wouldn't know if it would be or not. But my presumption now is that these things aren't the speed bumps that they once were.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's different. And I think I made the decision to not live a lie.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'll be able to look myself in the mirror.
Really? You know? But you see, there's an interesting thing. So it's a theme that's kind of run through the show today because we spoke to Mina earlier on. She was a French girl, but she has no French accent at all now and she deliberately dropped her French accent.
Really?
So it's RP. She's speaking like essentially RP. She was amazing. She was really, really wonderful. But she was saying that she didn't think that she would be cast in French parts.
Yeah, well, she said
because she wasn't white,
right? Yeah,
is what that was her conclusion.
Oh, right, yeah.
So she just dropped the Frenchness,
and then came here and cast here because in France, as she said, especially in TV, there's very few non-white lead actresses.
Yeah,
in shows there are a few male, But they're not really women. No, not in France, no.
Yeah. Mm. When I left drama school, I could do pretty mean Northern Irish accent, and I thought, well, I'll never use that, will I?
There's radio. You're going to do it on radio.
Hi, I'm Brian Carr.
So I understand. Yeah, you can. The thinking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm more on board than to watch it if there's only four episodes gone.
Yeah. And they're all on iPlayer as well, aren't they? So you can catch up. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think actually, can I just say, I think it's better now. I prefer watching several episodes in a row. I actually get frustrated, and that's the Netflix thing, isn't it? Where I get annoyed if it's only one, and I go, right, I want to see more.
Lots of my friends say that. They're like, I haven't watched it yet because they want to binge.
I get that.
I do love a binge watch.
Yeah, it's nice.
Although when you're trying to get to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning,
just one more. Yeah, just one more.
How long are the apps?
An hour,
okay.
No adverts because it's BBC.
Oh, so yeah, so it's full hour.
Yeah.
See, again, I'd rather watch it when I didn't have a complete. I'll tell you what I watched the other day. What I did watch was The Virtues.
Oh, yeah, I really want
to
see that.
Oh, that's the Shane Meadows thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I
would like to see that.
Back to back.
Good.
I wish I hadn't watched them back to back.
They're heavy,
bleak,
right?
Is it?
Yeah, and slow. Very, very slow.
I thought you liked bleak, though.
I do. But it was slow as well.
Okay.
Slow
by design. It was good slow, but that sort of slow would have been better separated.
In chunks.
Yeah. It was like watching Waiting for Godot three times.
Okay.
Well, I know what you could have done. You could have
watched it once and love it. I could have watched it three times in a row. And then they did Endgame in the interval. So that's how it feels.
Right, well, you should have watched one of the Virtues, one Years and Years, one Virtues, yep. 1 year, like that back and forth, and then that's done, right?
I'm not saying at any point I'm in the right here. I'm saying it is bad form for me to certainly not watch a show that I've got guests from.
Yeah.
But I am meeting them clean. So I'm meeting them now like that's... I'm not swayed by their character or anything. I'm meeting them as human beings straight away.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I can go and say, oh, look how talented they are in that show. I met them
or
people. Yeah, I won't tell you anything.
Call us up after.
Well, you did say that about the H, right? You know, you called him out. No mercy there.
And rubbish. But I didn't actually dislike him. Because the whole thing
You should
was
get
rubbish.
Him on this show.
H
from Steps.
I think that is an accident waiting to happen.
What do you mean? An accidentally pop
into
the studio?
I would speak about anything else but that bloke from Lost Prophets.
He definitely wouldn't want to speak about that.
Exactly.
In fact, he may not be able to because I don't know if there's a court thing or if he got some money. I don't know. He may not be able to speak about that. I don't think he does it all the time. So, cancel him on the show.
It's so difficult for me to not bring it up. I try and be very, very hardest. is it second series and stuff like that going ahead?
No. Russell's not really a fan. Yeah. So there you go. You haven't even got a verse in the second series.
And I like that too.
Yeah,
I like
exactly.
self-contained
yeah.
very, very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Russell very much, most of his work I think is kind of self-contained.
Yeah, like you worked with him in Cucumber and Banana, and that was self-contained and amazing as well. That's those series. Yeah. Yeah.
And how is he to work with Russell? Because he does seem like that. So I've never met Russell too.
Yeah.
He's very generous. That's who you should get on a bloody show. He's hilarious.
Good luck with that.
I'll send in the clip so you haven't watched the show. I'm sure he'll come on the show. Honestly.
No, but I've heard this about him. I've heard that he's very... I spoke to Bethany about it a little bit. Bethany Black about it a little bit. And she was saying that quite how... And how supportive he was as well.
So supportive. So you get back to the hotel or whatever, he'll send you...
You've done all your days filming and he'll text you and he's so specific. It's like, those rushes here were amazing, great. And then sometimes he'll like be really helpful and say, remember, he can smile, and he's just he's so invested and so much pours so much love into every part of it.
Yeah.
He creates these amazing worlds to work on.
And also, you know, even when you're sort of not working on his projects, he'll email you,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
If you're doing something, you see something
touch.
Like, you know, he stays in touch and he says he's really supportive. He's just a
and when you think about
genuine
that,
guy.
As a when you think of the logistics of that, so these are things that would be small moments in the receiver's life, but lovely things to have.
Yeah.
But if he's doing that with everyone, the organisation behind doing that speaks volumes for someone.
Exactly.
Something that would seem casual is actually, that's a huge deal.
He gives a lot of time, a lot of his energy. And I just have to say to someone today, I don't know if he's actually human.
I'm not sure
if he's actually human.
Yeah.
What,
Tom
and one person?
Yeah, and he's so
suspicious, right?
Insight.
And also, like, when you know him, he's so just kind of normal and stupid, and then you see his work and you're like, oh my god, that all came out. Yeah, he's so
naughty. What is it? What naughty things has
he
done?
Oh, he loves an innuendo.
Oh, he loves
innuendo.
I'm not even needing it. Just put their mics up, we'll all go home.
We like guests that can talk.
Just click A when you're done.
I know, Ian, actually, you hate me doing this, but I am going to mention, because Emma Thompson's in the cast, Jessica Hines and Russell Tovey and Rory Kinnear and Maxim Baldry, who we had in there. He hates me doing that and mentioning other cast members, but I am going to do it.
Because these ones are here.
Yeah, you're here, but I'm saying Emma Thompson, bloody hell, right? Emma Thompson, come on.
Yeah, right, well done, Emma Thompson, but these are in it.
They're in it, but they've just agreed with me. Oh, my God, Emma Thompson. So we're right.
Can we just mention Lydia West as well?
Yeah.
Who is a newbie. I know you ain't seen it, but...
And Jade.
Isn't she? And Jade, exactly.
I don't know how to say her last name. Aliane. Just Jade.
What a lovely tribute. And Jade, I don't know her last name.
But yeah, they're great.
No, I know it. I just can't say it.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Can't help you. Sorry. Okay. Jade.
Well, I'll tell you what the feeling I'm getting then from you all is it seems like it's a fun thing to do, even though it might be bleak and dark in places, but it seems like... It's that thing, isn't it? And I say this quite a lot, and I often don't say it as well, because I don't feel that thing, and so I'd never mention it. But you can always get a gauge of it, of how good something is, or potentially is going to be, by how invested the people that are in it actually are, you know, because you can't fake that. You know, we've all been on publicity things trying to sell something that we think is rubbish. And it's, you actually can't fake it. It's impossible, no matter how good you are. So I think that's certainly coming off you, like, quite strongly, that it is.
I'm genuinely so thrilled to be a part of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think I'll just quote Rory Kinnear, who on his first day,
if you're gonna quote him, you've got to do his voice.
First day of working with Emma Thompson, is, you know, it's not often that something like this that sort of lands.
A long quote.
Yeah.
Well, what'll happen is, for the podcast, we'll slow that down so people can hear what you actually said. So it'd be a little extra treat. What were you going to say? What was it? What did he actually say?
What did Rory say?
He just said it was an act. It's not, you know, first day of set with Emma Thompson. She said it's not often a script like this lands on your lap.
Yeah.
It's a real
perfect
gift.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
The next episode is on tomorrow night, 9 p.m. BBC One. There we go. Watch it. Or the other's on iPlayer.
And then can I do a quick shout out
please
to my daughter? Because it's her birthday today.
Oh.
I won't say how old she is because she'll kill me. But happy birthday, Bindi Boo.
Why would
happy
she kill you?
Because she's very private.
What, she's like 40 or something? How old is she? listen, thanks ever so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thanks
for having us. The rest of the series and stuff.
Thank you.
And with the not second series, which I love that. There better not be one. Thanks for coming in. Thanks to all our guests from today. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, Ian.
Why are you talking?
I'm fine.
Are you in a strop?
No, I'm not. Stop it. I'm not in a strop.
Sorry,
I'm going to get
moved. We've got to go. Nat's in a strop.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.